You know, it's rare that the church tells us in the sacramentary, here's your outline for your homily. But this is one of those Sundays where we're told that we're to speak on three things. And they give us the actual outline of the homily, which is that we're to speak, of course, on the Eucharist, on the priesthood, and on the mandate of love and how they're connected. So I would speak to you tonight on a theme from St. Augustine, the great saint, the bishop of North Africa in the 4th century. And he speaks of matching gifts, matching gifts. We start with the concept. You know, most of us are familiar, if you've ever been on a telephone, call-in thing, where you're asked to donate. There's the concept of matching gifts. So maybe in a certain employer or a corporation or wealthy donor will match whatever you give. And so there is this understanding that there is this call, if you will, that the wealthy have to kind of try to match the gifts of those who are less well off. And they're encouraged to do it, and many of them do it. And I've been on many a telethon, that's the word I'm looking for, many a telethon where matching gifts are made available. So if you will give, your money will double. See? And so tonight, the Lord sort of, though, puts us on the on the giving end of that concept, the idea of a matching gift. Let me quote to you from what St. Augustine says. He's sort of glossing on Proverbs 23 in verse 1, and he says this. If you sit down to eat at the table of a ruler, observe carefully what is set before you. Then, before you stretch out your hand, know this, you must provide the same kind of meal yourself. Oops. Right? See? So we're not just called to this meal of the Lord to receive, but the Lord is asking us to imitate his example. So we see the concept. There is this understanding that the Lord is asking us to see that what he gives us today is not just a gift in itself, but it's a model for us. I was able to wash the feet tonight of 12 people, actually 13 because one of them was pregnant. All right, life begins at conception, y'all. But again, there was this imitation of the Lord. But the danger for us is that we just turn it into a perfunctory sort of ceremony, where the priest imitated what the Lord did, and that was very interesting and very lovely, and we go home unchanged. See, and the worst case scenario, I go home as your pastor unchanged. See, lest I forget that I'm supposed to wash your feet. And that, of course, is meant in more than just a physical, but also very deeply in a profound spiritual way. All of you have children, grandchildren, families, siblings, co-workers, the poor, and you're supposed to wash their feet too. So it's interesting to look at this little liturgical observance and say, well, that was a very archaic and very strange little ritual, but it was interesting, and I'll go home and note that it took place. And it's outside you and distant from you and even remote, lest you and I forget that the Lord is not just showing us what he did, but saying, I have given you an example for you to follow. He asked this question, do you understand what I've just done for you? Now, if you're honest, you'll say, no, maybe a little, and you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to understand what it really means to wash the feet of people you love. And not just people you love, but people who can sometimes be hard to love. People who irritate and make you struggle and make you angry. Sometimes they're family, sometimes they're strangers, but it's hard. It's a hard lesson. Do you understand? Yes, Lord, but are there any exceptions? And we struggle. So tonight, the concept simply of this, that the Lord through St. Augustine is teaching us that you need to understand that if you're going to sit at the table of a king, remember this before you go, you're going to be asked to give a similar kind of a meal in return. There are three things, as I've said to you, that are brought together tonight, and I'd ask you to ponder this mystery then of the matching gifts at three levels. We talk about the Eucharist, we talk about the priesthood, and what we call the mandatum. The mandatum just means the commandment. The mandatum novum, the new commandment. Sometimes some of you who are older may remember that this Thursday was sometimes called Maundy Thursday. Remember, a few of you remember that? Or is it just me? Am I getting that old? Father Brian, you certainly remember Maundy Thursday, yes? But anyway, the idea, Maundy Thursday, comes from that idea, mandatum. It's just sort of a mispronunciation in English of mandatum, the new commandment of love. Now, what makes it new? I told you at the beginning of Mass, what makes it new is that the Lord actually gives us the grace through the Eucharist to do it. And so if we leave the Eucharist and don't understand that we've been equipped to wash others' feet, we've missed something. That the Eucharist is not just, you know, for me to go get fed for my own sake. Yes, it's for your sake. But it's so that after you put your own mask on, as they say in the airplane, and we know that's been in the news a lot, right? in better settings when the airplane, if you've got your own mask, you put your own mask on only so that you can help somebody else to put their mask on. If we come to the Eucharist and just think it's just for me and Jesus, and we leave here, and we don't sense that we've been equipped, empowered, enabled, and commanded to wash others' feet, well, we've missed the whole point, haven't we? Or at least an essential point. So I want to say to you that there's this concept of the similar meal. If we receive this meal at the table of a king, we're expected to offer it. And so then we see this communion. Now, let me say to you that this idea of the Eucharist, the priesthood, and the mandate are three, but they're actually one. Notice that in our mind, we're able to separate things out that sometimes in reality, we can't. So look at the flames on these candles. In your mind, you are able to separate the light from the heat. But in reality, could you ever go and take a knife and put the heat over here and the light over there? You cannot. They are, although separate, they are so together as to be one. And so, with the Eucharist, that the Eucharist, which is Jesus' love for us, is so united to our commandment to love each other and to the priesthood that they cannot be divided. In our mind, yes, but in reality, they are so together as to be one. Now, tonight we celebrate the beginning of what we call the ministerial priesthood. And I want to first of all speak of it specifically, but then broaden it. Father Bryant and I are ministerial priests. We've been ordained to serve and to bring the sacraments to you and to preach a word to you. But all of us have also something that we call the royal priesthood of all believers. Now, in the priesthood, there comes this very alarming notion in the New Testament. It's very alarming, and you should be prepared to be shocked. In the Old Testament, a priest always offered a victim separate from himself. A lamb. If someone was really very wealthy, they brought a bull. If someone was poor, you see the little turtle doves up on our wall here. There's a number of them there. The poor brought turtle doves. But at the end of the day, the priest always sacrificed something different or separate from himself. But look out, y'all. In the New Testament, the priest and the victim are one and the same. Jesus did not offer some lamb. He offered himself. Jesus is the lamb. And that is a model not just for Father Bryant and I in the ministerial priesthood. It is that. We must be prepared to suffer and die and offer our lives for you. But so must you as royal priest. Every baptized Christian is not made a ministerial priest, but all of us, including Father Bryant and myself, are made royal priests. We share in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And here comes the shocking and dangerous notion that we're called to offer a sacrifice not different from ourself, but our very self. So you start to see how things that we separate in our mind are actually one. The Eucharist, which is a sacrifice. The priesthood, which is a sacrifice. But the priest is called not only to sacrifice something different from himself, but his very self. And don't just leave me and Father Bryant on the hook. All of you, all of us, have that share. And all of us, then, are called to understand that that sacrifice is made for each other in love and service. There are going to just be times when other people are more important than me, when I have to sacrifice my time and wait for them, when I have to spend a sleepless night taking care of them. There are soldiers in our army who go and give their lives so that we don't have to. There are police officers and firefighters who, instead of running from danger, run toward it. All of us are called to understand that love and sacrifice and this meal are really one and the same. Are you and I prepared to offer the same sacrifice that Jesus did? He says to us tonight, I have given you an example. And that's not just spoken to the ministerial priest, but to all of us. Are you willing to suffer for the sake of the kingdom? Are you willing to suffer persecution? To speak a truth to a world that prefers darkness rather than light? Are you willing to serve and love your children, not just in the good things you give them, but even in the challenges that you present them and the truth that you insist they walk in? Are you willing to suffer for the kingdom? Not suffer because I want to win an argument and beat you, but the opposite, because I love you and want you to know the truth. Are you and I willing to wash the feet of people who trouble us, spend time with them, listen to their struggles, and also speak a truth to them, but in love? Or are we just going to go like this and brush them aside and say, I don't want to hear from them, and heck with them and some people's children? What are we willing to do? Are we willing to understand how this Eucharist and our suffering as priest and our love for one another, even for our enemies, are all really one thing? Are we willing? So that's the challenge for us tonight. And I end with the question that Jesus posed. Do you have any idea what I've just said to you? Do you have any idea what I have just done for you? Okay, Lord, I sort of get it, but help me to live it more freely, more fully, more actually. Help me, Lord, to be willing to understand that I have to be prepared. You offered your very self to me every time I come to this Mass. Every time you offer yourself to me as a sacrifice. Lord, if I'm going to come to this meal, as St. Augustine says, I have to be willing to prepare or to provide a similar meal. He says, Lord, I've given you an example for you to follow. Are we willing? Do we understand? Do we grasp this? Well, I think most of us, if we're honest, are going to say, Lord, I sort of get it, but I know I need to get it more. Work with me, Lord. Walk with me, Lord, and help me to walk with you so that I can remember that I'm expected to give a matching gift. Maybe mine is just 5 loaves and 2 fishes compared to your glorious thing, but I am expected to bring my 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Lord, help me to do it Help me to make the sacrifices that you expect me, and help me to love the needy, the poor, the troubled, the suffering, even my very self. Amen.